Chapter 9. The Lost. In the training cages aboard the Vesalius, Arion let the weight of the blade guide his hand. Phalanx blades often had a mind of their own. They went where they would, thirsty for blood. He turned, following the steps of an ancient dance, the oldest dance. The dance of eternity, of death and rebirth. He had not learned it among his legion. It was a mote of his past, of a forgotten childhood lodged in his memory, a painful note in an old song. The nails that bit into his mind and soul sparked as he moved, and the chemical dampeners went to work, muting the pain. The red path receded, its jagged contours softened, and the barbaric rush faded. For a time, he would be able to concentrate, to see without the shadow of the axe clouding his vision. Free of his leash, the warhound danced, and his brothers kept time. Their ghosts howled and stamped, urging him on to greater speed. Their chains clacked in a rhythmic accompaniment as he whirled and spun, blades slicing the air. The sound they made as they did so was like the sliding of some vast serpent's scales across stone. His battle plate creaked and groaned with exertion. It was almost like a thing alive, and as lazy as any predator. It felt good to move, to slash and spin. Working with the chief apothecary was akin to running a whetstone along the edge of one's mind, ever sharpening your thoughts and observations. But such narrow focus led to a dulling of the body and a dependence on chemical stimulants to prod old instincts into motion. A sharp mind required a sharp body, else the whole mechanism would grind to a halt at the worst possible moment. He had almost died aboard the Craftworld. The Harlequins had surprised him, had surprised them all. Once, that would not have been the case. Perhaps the dampeners had dulled his wits overmuch. He had lost focus, and it had nearly killed him. The wound pulled against itself as he moved. The pain was good. The Harlequin had been fast, so fast. He had fought Eldar before and knew their speed, but this had been something else again. A whirling dervish of flashing colour and silent smiles. He felt the echo of the impact, of the alien fingers sliding through the joins in his armour, biting into his flesh with surprising strength, clawing for his heart. He'd erased its smile a moment later, but too late.
"One more scar for the collection, brother,"
the ghosts murmured.
"One more debt paid."
"Quiet," Arion said. The skulls clattered against his chestplate, as if laughing at him. He turned away from the thought and towards other, more immediate worries. It had been several hours since the chief apothecary had been escorted to the planet's surface. They had heard nothing since. Alkanex's warriors held the command deck and patrolled the main corridors and causeways. For all intents and purposes, the ship was theirs. That could change, and swiftly, but Arion was loath to implement such a course without cause. To do so, risk the Vesalius being destroyed out of hand by Harmony's defense grid. Not to mention the other vessels in close orbit. The battle barge, Wage of Sin, was not alone out there in the void. A pack of vessels of various make and class prowled the debris belt around Harmony. More vessels sworn to the Third Legion. A fleet in the offing. They were outnumbered and outgunned. Patience was the best weapon they had. He heard a sound behind him, a cat-quiet tread, light and swift. Arion leapt, turned and dropped, blade extended. The tip came to a halt inches from Igori's throat. He gave no sign of surprise at her sudden presence, though he had not heard her enter the chamber. She looked down at the blade and then up at him.
"He has been down there too long."
Arion nodded.
"Yes. We must go to him."
"No." Her nostrils flared.
"They may kill him."
"Yes." She stared at him, like a raptor studying its prey. Her hands twitched, as if seeking to sink into warm flesh and peel it back from bone. Arion lowered his blade, spun it, and sheathed it.
"You do not think they will," she said after a moment.
"No.
If they wanted him dead, they would have left him to the Eldar. This is something else."
He rested his hands on the hilts of his swords, frowning.
"I do not know what, but something. Igori nodded, her frown mirroring his.
I do not like this.
Nor do I, but we must have faith in him, if nothing else. She smiled. A feral thing, that smile. He returned it in kind. They understood each other, he thought. Two beasts pulling against the same leash. Two hounds loyal to the same master.
Faith is for the weak, she said.
Yes, but weakness can be strength in the right circumstances. Eidolon led Fabius up a set of cracked and broken steps and into the remains of an open chamber far above the amphitheatre below. Fabius recognized the shape of it, one of his secondary observation chambers. Here, the results of his lesser experiments would have been left to their own devices, their habits and behavior recorded by the techno-organic sensor polyps that sprouted from every wall. Those polyps and their subjects were long gone now. The bones of the latter crunched underfoot as he followed Eidolon into the chamber.
I'm surprised you didn't recognize this place from the outset. I have never had a head for architecture, Fabius said. Is there a reason you're using one of my old facilities as a meeting place for your lodge, or was it merely expedience? We are not a warrior lodge, Fabius. Their purpose was served long ago when they ceased to be. We are something new under the sun.
Eidolon sounded insulted.
Secret societies are hardly unique, brother. Mankind has had them for as long as they've had fire and the shadows it cast. We are not secret, either. No? Then why masks and robes for the laity? Ritual is the sinew of brotherhood, Eidolon said. Then you've never been much for brotherhood in all the years I've known you. If that is your belief, why bother to invite me here?
Fabius lifted Torment and pointed it at Eidolon.
And how did you find me in the first place? Have you been watching me, then? Spying on me? Of course, Eidolon shrugged. But in this instance, we were told where you were. And who told you how to find me, Eidolon?
Eidolon drew a vaguely human shape in the dusty air.
She did. She. You know who I mean, Fabius.
Eidolon grinned.
She, who is as much a part of you as that contraption you wear.
Fabius froze. His heartbeat slipped, and the chirurgeon uttered a concerned hiss as it analyzed the sudden faltering.
Melusine, he said softly.
Eidolon nodded.
She danced out of the shadows, speaking nonsense riddles and drawing shapes on the walls with golden talons.
He indicated the wall where strange shapes had been etched into the ancient rockcrete. After a moment's study, Fabius realized that they were all of one piece, a crude star map.
Why? Why did she show us? Presumably because she wanted us to find you.
Eidolon shrugged.
Who can tell with one like that? She's a member of the Dark Prince's court now, whatever she might once have been.
Fabius grimaced.
Yes.
He looked away. The last time he'd seen Melusine, she'd attempted to warn him about something. He'd been unable to make any sense of her ramblings beyond the barest essence of the message. Was this another warning, or something else?
I'm surprised you trusted her. She is one of my creations, after all. Yes, but she belongs to another now, as everything you have made will belong to him in time.
Eidolon tapped the distorted aquila on his chest plate.
The phoenix stirs fitfully, and your horrid daughter thing comforts him in his restlessness.
Fabius's grip on Torment tightened.
Be that as it may, you still have not told me why you summoned me here. Do you know why we come here, Fabius? I would hesitate to guess.
Eidolon chuckled.
Harmony was where the Legion died for a third time. 3 times we have succumbed to the fires, and 3 times we have been reborn. This place is sacred. It is a place of pilgrimage and contemplation. It is a ruin filled with ghosts. Name me 1 cathedral of significance that isn't.
Eidolon gestured dismissively.
Harmony is where we were reborn, out of the fires of your madness. All of us, even you. Or can you truly claim that you are the same as you were then, before Abaddon cast his spear?
Fabius hesitated.
No, even my hubris has its limits.
Eidolon nodded.
This place is as dear to us as Lost Chemos, or the butcher fields of terror. It is a monument to our sins and our strength. Here, our enemies came against us with enough force to crack a world, and still we live. We endure. We grow. And we have you to thank for it, Fabius. Without your madness, we might have sunk into useless somnolence, as so many of our brothers have. And my reward was exile. Self-imposed exile. You tried to kill me. That wasn't the first time,
Eidolon said.
Assassins came for you on a daily basis when you were trying to consolidate your control over the Legion. And how many tried to kill our brother Lucius, or me? You should take it as a compliment.
We have different ideas as to what constitutes a compliment.
Possibly. We were angry with you, Fabius. We sought a scapegoat, and you donned the horns and hide all too willingly. You've always been a martyr to one cause or another, and you've always given us reason to hate you. How many brothers did you condemn to undignified death in order to preserve our ranks from the ravages of the Blight?
Too many.
Eidolon nodded.
And some of those were closer than brothers, weren't they? Do you remember Lyseon? Whatever became of him?
Eidolon was smiling as he asked the question. It was the smile of a man who already knew the answer to his own question. Fabius swallowed, perturbed despite himself. He had long since cast off the shackles of guilt, but even so, he felt a twinge at his old friend's name.
Lyseon died at Terror. Did he? It is hard to remember. So many of us have died. So many of us yet live.
Eidolon knocked on the broken wall. Clumps of masonry shifted and fell.
How did he die?
Fabius frowned.
I don't recall. I find that hard to believe.
Eidolon turned, empty eyes studying Fabius.
Then, as I said, you've never been one for brotherhood, have you?
Fabius was silent. Eidolon nodded as if he had spoken.
Flavius hates you. I'm not entirely certain why. A common state of affairs where you are concerned, though. Small minds hate what they fear, Fabius said.
Eidolon chuckled. More masonry fell, cascading down from above. Fabius stepped back.
Flavius has a larger mind than most. He fully grasps the extent of the performance to come, Fabius. He is precious to me, as are you.
You have an amusing way of showing it.
Surely you understand by now that little show out there was for their benefit, to demonstrate that I have you in hand. Word travels like wildfire in this region, Fabius. Already spies flock to their masters, carrying news of your capture. Soon will come the demands for your head, for your services, for your secrets.
Fabius laughed.
Do you think I fear them? I am the most hated and beloved individual in the eye, Eidolon. When your numbers run low, when mutation reduces your combat effectiveness, then you all come crawling, begging for the touch of my knife. But when you are strong, You hunt me and hound me, as if by bringing me to heel you might expunge some stain on yourselves. Hypocrites, every one of you! Spare me your self-righteousness, Fabius. It is a shade that does not suit you. Whatever your troubles, you have brought them on yourself.
Eidolon touched the twisted mass of scar tissue that ringed his neck.
I know this, because I am your greatest sin-given voice.
He smiled, the flesh of his lips tearing like paper, revealing a razor maw beneath. Up close, Fabius could see that Eidolon's skull no longer fit his flesh. It had transformed in some awful, subtle way. Was transforming still, as if that sagging grey meat was nothing more than a cocoon for some gestating horror.
I gave you more than that, I think, Fabius said finally.
Eidolon laughed, a low, sonorous sound that reverberated painfully through Fabius's bones.
Perhaps. And perhaps that is why I have become inclined to lenience where you are concerned, renegade. Our father wants you chained to his throne, an ornament for his pleasure gardens. But I am disinclined to give Fulgrim such a small gift, when there are greater ones by far that could be provided. Speak plainly. I haven't done that in quite some time, thanks to you.
Eidolon turned.
But very well. I have found them, Fabius. After all these many thousands of years, I have found our missing brothers.
Fabius frowned.
I was not aware we were missing anyone of particular importance. Weren't you? I recall that you mourned them longer than most. You wept for the potential, never to be realized.
Fabius's eyes widened.
That is impossible. They were destroyed. That was only ever the most obvious explanation. But you should know by now that such things are rarely as they seem. The lost gene tithe, Fabius. It is still intact, still viable, and ready for the taking.
The lost gene tithe. The first blow their legion had suffered, if not the most grievous. In the years following the Proximan betrayal, a substantial portion of their gene seed reserve had been dispatched to Luna for safekeeping. The tithe ship had never reached its destination. Some reports claimed that Selenite rebels had hijacked a defense laser and destroyed the vessel and all that it contained. Other reports insisted that the ship had suffered an unforeseen malfunction in its guidance systems, lost control, and crashed even as it attempted to dock. And some, fewer in number and heeded by no one, postulated that the ship and its precious cargo had simply vanished. Regardless, it was a mystery that had soon been forgotten, paling as it did next to the horrors to come. Fabius closed his eyes, fingers pressed to his temple. He could still recall the smell emanating from the gene seed vaults on Terra, of spoilage and sour meat. Only the vaults of the third had been affected. A fast-acting viral blight, the Biomagos claimed. Cause and origin unknown. Even now, so many thousands of years later, it was still unknown. Perhaps it was some viral abomination, brewed in the darkest days of old night. They had created horrors in those days that would send even Neverborn shrieking for the safety of oblivion. He felt it nestled deep within him, a black seed spreading thin roots through the meat of him, entropy in action.
Things fall apart, he murmured. The center cannot hold.
A bit of poetic nonsense from a more innocent age, but sadly apt.
But even 20 centuries of stony sleep cannot crush such potential, Eidolon said.
Fabius looked up. Eidolon smiled, his face twisting into a ghastly expression.
You are not the only one who knows that antiquated verse, Fabius.
The smile slumped into a leer.
That was always your problem. You thought you were better than the rest of us, when really, you were the worst of all.
He laughed and recited.
The best lack all conviction, while the worst are full of passionate intensity. Enough mockery. How did you find it? The same way I found you. Someone told me.
Where is it? Eidolon shrugged.
The Eastern Fringe. A world that is not a world. That is singularly unhelpful, Eidolon. I have the coordinates. That should be more than adequate, even for you. If you have the coordinates, why do you need me? So suspicious, Fabius. That, too, should be obvious. You are the chief apothecary. It is your responsibility, your duty.
Fabius gave a bark of laughter.
You're a fine one to talk. I have no duty to this legion of monsters any more so than it has a duty to me. I am a legion of one, and I have been since Abaddon drove his spear into the heart of this world. But it doesn't have to be that way, Fabius. To forgive is divine. Another bit of doggerel you spout without understanding. Who is doing the forgiving here? Me? You? Fulgrim, perhaps. Has the Phoenician stirred at last from his throne of thorns to make himself heard once more by his prodigal sons?
Eidolon frowned.
The Illuminator still sleeps, Fabius. He waits for us in a paradise of his own dreaming, in a shining city on a hill. I suspect you will never see it.
A rumble was building in him, like the echo of distant thunder. Fabius paid it no mind.
And you, will you see it? Is that all you desire now, Lord Commander Primus, to grovel before your master's coils?
Fabius tensed. Eidolon's jaw sagged. The sound that emerged from within that altered throat was akin to a physical blow. Even as he was knocked backwards, Fabius knew that Eidolon was using but a fraction of his strength. At its strongest, Eidolon's howl could punch through the hull of a frigate. He staggered, only just maintaining his feet. The chirurgeon was hissing in alarm, its articulated limbs clicking and whirring as it sought the threat.
"Struck a nerve, I see," he croaked, awaiting the next strike. "If you cannot handle such petty insults with grace, I fear for the future of your arrangement with Abaddon."
Eidolon paused, eyes narrowed. Fabius chuckled and probed his teeth with his tongue. A few were loose from the sonic blow. No matter.
"Oh, yes. I know that you have been seeking to curry favor with that dull-witted brute, joining him on his little expeditions. Has the Legion forgiven him his crimes, then, or have you merely turned coat once again?" "Bile by name, bile by nature,"
Eidolon muttered. Fabius nodded.
"If you like. What would your loyal dogs, your so-called Phoenix Conclave out there, do if they knew on whose behalf you shed Legion blood? Would they applaud your foresight and wisdom, or would they tear you apart?" "It would depend on who told them, I think." "Possibly. Then you were never well-liked, Eidolon." "Neither were you, Fabius."
Fabius dipped his head in acknowledgement of the point.
"Then I ask again, why go through all of this farce just to bring me here and tell me this? What do you need from me, Eidolon? You have your own fleshcrafters, crude though they are. They would serve well enough to make use of such a bounty, if it even exists." "It exists. Of that you can be sure."
Eidolon turned away. He was silent for a moment, as if considering his next words.
"You say we died here, that our back was broken, our hearts burst, that Abaddon killed us. And that is true, but the Phoenix must die in order to be reborn. We have died 3 times, and been reborn stronger each time, as we are being reborn even now. Those dogs, as you call them, are but the first. Others will come, old friends and new, until the Legion is unified once more.
So, this is an appeal to brotherhood. How quaint.
Eidolon laughed.
No, nor is it an appeal to your vanity. I know you too well for that. No, this is an appeal to your pragmatism, Fabius. You claim you are hunted, harried across the eye. Who will hunt you if you are safe once more behind the shields of your brothers? Who will dare?
Abaddon.
Eidolon gestured dismissively.
Abaddon is no fool. He puts no stock in honor, save that it benefits him. He knows well your uses, whether he admits it or not. Indeed, he has often said as much to me.
And how often were those kind words accompanied by the desire that you bring me to him in chains?
No more than once or twice, I assure you.
Fabius snorted. He strode past Eidolon to the tower's edge and looked out over the devastation.
What do you truly want of me, Eidolon? Am I to be your hunting hound, seeking out this prize on your behalf?
If you like. With that ship and its contents, brother, we might be able to build the Legion anew. A legion of gods, not monsters. Think of it as a canvas upon which you will paint your masterpiece. And I am your obliging patron. Whatever you need, whatever you wish, I shall endeavor to make happen. All for the price of a thing you would do for free.
Fabius smiled. The thought was a pleasing one. It had been so long since he'd had access to that amount of raw material. And not just cloned scraps either, but fresh.
And what will Abaddon think, I wonder, when he gets word of this? Or the Dark Council of Sicarius? The Legion Wars are not so long over that our estranged brothers will have forgotten. They will not wish to see a resurgent third.
Nonetheless, see it they will. And once it is done, their disapproval will mean less than nothing to us. We shall resume our rightful place as the rulers of this hell, but only if we have the numbers to do so.
And that is why you need me, Fabius said.
It was an intriguing offer. He had not contemplated a project on such a scale in some time. But if it bought him the good graces of his brothers and the time to perfect his own creations, then perhaps it was worth considering. He glanced at Eidolon.
I am the only one who can guarantee the necessary success rate.
He hesitated.
I will choose the aspirants myself, yes? There must be no taint in them, no weakness of soul or flesh.
That would be the most important part. They must be perfect at the outset, or the likelihood of rejection would be increased beyond acceptable parameters.
Agreed. Though I suspect that will come in time.
Eidolon's leer was unpleasant. Fabius almost changed his mind there and then. But spite, for its own sake, served little purpose.
Find me my army, brother, and I will see to it that your name is once again whispered throughout the Eye.
Fabius looked at him, pondering. An army. A restored Third Legion. Once he might have leapt at the opportunity. Now it was a matter that required careful consideration. Still, there were benefits to such an arrangement. And the terms of the agreement could always be altered when it came to it. If necessary. After a moment, he nodded, smiling thinly.
Very well. We have an accord, brother.